Beautiful song and beautiful story. This message was supposed to be, I would have preached this several weeks ago had I not had the sickness and the snow, just a lot of things. This is still talking about giving. And as when I was asked about Stacy singing that song, I thought of Hannah and the scripture that we just read a little while ago in the message. You know, you think of Paul and Stacy and what they went through there as the doctors, you know, said this could happen, this could happen, this could happen. And I think of Hannah here in the scripture. Hannah, of course, praying for a child and Hannah begging God. So intense was her prayer, so, you know, broken was her heart. Eli, the Bible says, as it goes on in the scripture, Eli thought she was drunk. She was praying so fervently. Eli himself had his own spiritual issues whereby maybe he'd never prayed like that before. You ever prayed like that where you're just begging God, God, I've got to have this request. And you're on your face before God, you weep and you cry out. You know, a prayer shouldn't be just a ritual. Prayer should be a time where we pour our hearts out to God. And and that's really what Paul and Stacy did. And I was thinking, as Stacy was singing, I was thinking about the message and just thinking of the personal time that they spent with the Lord. God, if you'll do this, God, if you'll let her lungs be right, if you'll let her heart be right, if you'll let her body be, God, if you'll let her live, if you'll, you know, we often make deals with God and promises to God, and we find ourselves making what I want to talk about, vows to the Lord. You know, it is such a precious thing to give. As I continue talking about giving, and really the last message about giving is giving what will be mine. Giving what will be mine. We've talked about giving what is mine. That's giving, first of all, our heart, giving offerings, giving alms. Alms, of course, is helping out people that have needs. Then we talked about giving what isn't mine, and we talked about our tithe. The tithe is not ours. 10% of everything I receive, it is already God's. But giving what isn't mine, our tithe, our spirit, our body, the Bible says those are already the Lord's, and we, as we yield our spirit, I preached about this last Sunday morning, we yield our spirit to God, and then we, as far as giving Him our body, we presented a living sacrifice. He doesn't want us dead. He wants us to live for Him, and so we have to die to us so we can live for Him. And so we talked about giving what isn't mine, but I close this series with giving what will be mine. What will be mine? And this is where we look into the future and we talk to God and we say, God, if you'll do this, then I'll do this. And it's really what vows are all about. God, I will do this. And again, it's not always based on what God may do or what God may not do, but it's when we're alone with God and we say, God, I'm praying about this. And the example that is very close to all of us is our faith promise giving in our church. Our whole missions fund is supported by faith promise giving, and it is where we get on our knees before God and we say, God, what will you provide over and above for me to give? And it's a look into the future, and it is us saying, okay, God, you've laid this number on my heart. Now, I vow I will give it. And it is an amazing thing. And God provides in so many different ways, and we hear testimonies always at missions conference time of how God provided as we support our missionaries and as the faith promise is given. But it's giving what will be mine. And honestly, it goes back to everything as we've talked about giving. It goes back to we just have to trust God with this thing called giving. Father, I do pray you'll bless now the preaching of thy word. I thank you so much for the song that just tied so well into the message today, and it was completely unplanned by us, completely planned by you weeks before, and I just marvel at how you do that, God. Now, please challenge us from your word. with the promises that we make, the vows that we make, as far as our giving to missions, but in all of our life, Lord, I pray that you'll help us with it. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture goes on, and it talks about Hannah's prayer, and she vowed a vow, verse 11, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou would indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord. Verse 19, it goes on, it says, they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And God gave her her request as she said. And then verse 27, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. And again, we see what a beautiful story of a woman begging God for something that would be hers, but saying before it is hers, before it ever happens, saying, I will give my child to the Lord. If God, if you'll give me this boy, I will give him to you. I will make sure that I can do everything I can. Now, certainly he would have his own decisions to make, but I, myself, I'll make sure he's yours, God. And we do that. We do that in October with our missions program. The same idea. God, if you'll provide, you know, God, whatever number you lay on my heart, if it's $10 a week, if it's 20, if it's 50, if it's $100 a week, God, I'm going to trust you for that. I'm going to believe you for that. I am going to, by faith, I'm going to make sure that is, it's not my tithe. It's not part of anything else. I'm just going to watch you, God. I'm going to watch you reduce my electric bill. I'm going to watch you reduce the gas bill. God, I'm going to watch you reduce the medical bills. I'm going to watch you keep that old clunker running. God, I'm going to watch you keep the roof from, well, anyway. God, I'm going to count on you to take care of this thing, because I'm going to put that money in the plate, or I'm going to give to that missionary. I'm going to do this thing, God, and I'm going to have a great time watching what you do. It's called giving what will be mine. We call it faith promise giving, but I want to call it faith promise living, because that's how we're supposed to live our lives as Christians. And maybe you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've never trusted Christ. You certainly would not understand what I'm talking about. But I'll tell you what, I hope that by the time you leave here, you know Jesus and you get saved, and that you can live this wonderful life by faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. It should be faith promise living. It should be, God, I'm going to make promises to you because I know you're going to take care of it. You know, it's like Stacy said, every one of us, we struggle. We want to have control. And yet God doesn't want us to. God sometimes sends something into our lives to remind us, hey, I'm up here and you haven't talked to me in a long time. Hey, you need me, and I want you to remember that you need me. And we have to sometimes be reminded that, hey, God is God, and we're supposed to live by faith. And you know, we deal with this so often at missions conference, but I wanted to just kind of end this month of giving, which was actually December, and I wanted to just sort of end it with this passage of scripture. It's really like vows that we make, and let's look at vows. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 4, and really I have a short outline. So if everybody in the front here that I can see looks intelligent, we will move real fast, and let me just see. Oh my, no, we're good. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 4. And a familiar two verses of scripture here that often are talked about with the vows that we make. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 4. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. In other words, don't just be lighthearted about, God, I'll do this. Don't just be, you know, casual about this. Because whenever we're casual, we often become a casualty. Amen? So we should never be lighthearted. We should be serious about our vows that we make to God. God, I want to do this for you. I'm telling you, you've spoken to my heart, or you've done this, or if you do this, I will do this. And so it says, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. And so faith promise living is to, you know, I'm going to make commitments to my God. I'm going to go to God. I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to tell God and request things from God. And I'm going to tell God that here's what I will do, God. I remember the first faith promise message I ever heard was I was a young teenager. In fact, I'm not sure I was even saved the first time I heard a message about it. But I decided, you know, thought I could give $5 a week. But I remember the preacher, after everybody made their commitments, and I thought this was kind of tricky. We all made our commitments, and he preached on Ecclesiastes. And he said, now don't make a vow unless you're going to keep that vow, and God's going to get you if you don't. And I mean, I took it, I really believe what he said. And I mean, that $5 a week was in there every week, all the time. But then I got a place where I didn't attend church, and because I was going to her church, and we lived about 45 minutes apart, and I missed a few weeks, and I mean, I was terrified. And I made sure the next time I was there, I got that in there. Why? Because I knew that a vow to God was very, very serious. And it's giving what will be mine. It's not based on, okay, I calculated this out. It's based on, God, you've laid this on my heart, and I trust you to provide it. I trust you to make these things happen, and I'm going to make a vow that this is going to happen. It's my commitment to God. And again, it works not only in our faith promise missions program, but it works in every aspect of our lives. Think about a vow of marriage. A vow of marriage. Do you understand? And I always try to make this so clear when I'm counseling a couple before they get married. You know, hey, don't take this lightly. I mean, they're giddy. You know, they're, you know, everything's just fun and games. And, oh, we're just going to have a wonder. Oh, we love each other. What about tough times? Oh, we're love, 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 love. You know, and that's all they're talking about. And I mean, honestly, it's hard sometimes to get them to understand it isn't always going to be like that. She looks at him and he is so handsome to her. I mean, there is absolutely, she doesn't seem bald. Which, I mean, I think bald is beautiful. But she doesn't see that though. And he looks at her and, oh, you know, she's the most beautiful girl in the world. And praise the Lord. I mean, that's all great. But they don't, you know, he doesn't see her after she's had five kids. Anyway, which doesn't mean anything. It means absolutely nothing. But, you know, in your mind, maybe it does. But anyway, but they're making vows. And they're serious vows. They're not taking life. You know, it's not, I know we live in a society, in a world where, hey, you know, you can just get rid of this thing. And you don't have to stay married. But they're vows. And what are they? I mean, well, one, better or worse. Now, isn't that something that's going to happen? Well, you don't know what it's going to be. You don't have any idea. Now, you think everything's better. I mean, Brenda and I, when we first got married, we had nothing. We were, I mean, at first we had our good jobs and everything, but then I surrendered to be a pastor, to preach, and went to Bible college. We had nothing. And certainly we saw worse a few times. We had no idea, though, when we set our vows to each other. We didn't have any idea. We'd live in half of a house trailer. That when the blizzard of 78 blew, that the wind was blowing through the walls. We had no idea. We had little snow drifts on a couple of the things by the windows because the snow just blew right through. You know, we didn't know. We didn't know it was going to be like that. Yet you make a vow and you say for better or for worse. You say for richer or for poorer. You don't expect poor. In fact, you think right now, well, this is obviously the worst it can get. You never know if it's the worst it can get. And we say sickness and health, and I had no idea that my wife would be in a car accident, and all these years would have pain in her body that I never would have thought of. She never would have thought of it. You got to, and there's folks all over this room, you know. But what do? We made a vow. We made a vow. And we said, you know what? I'm giving what will be mine. And you know what? If it's better, praise God. But if it's worse, praise God. If it's richer, hallelujah. If it's poorer, praise the Lord. If it's sickness, that's sad. But if it's health, praise the Lord. And we're going to praise the Lord anyway. And that's faith promise living. And we make those kind of vows all the time. I surrendered to the Lord when I was had been saved just a short time. And you've heard the story. I won't get into the whole story. But I said, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And he said, go to Bible college, and I want you to study to be a preacher. Now, that was not in any of my plans when I was growing up. I didn't even think about it. It was just never a thought. I wasn't even a Christian until I was 17. And yet, it was, you know, God, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. And I promised him, I will always do what you say. And again, so many in this, you've done that. You've made it. What are we doing? We're giving what will be mine. No matter what. No matter how good. And it often is good. But it's what will be mine. And so I go to the story here and I see several things that I want to call your attention to. And this is the life of the Christian. It should be, certainly with our missions program, certainly with our faith promise. If you've never given to faith promise, I would ask you today, get on the altar and get on your knees and just say, God, put in my heart, put in my spouse's heart, put in our hearts what you want us to do for our missions program. And you can live one of the most exciting lives as a Christian. It is so exciting as God provides, as just little ways that God takes care of that. It is an amazing way. And yet, it's how we're supposed to live as Christians. Number one, we see the promise. We see the promise. Go back to verse 10 and notice here, verse 10, she is serious. You know, she was in bitterness of soul. That doesn't mean sinful bitterness. That means her heart was absolutely broken, and she was determined. She prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. You know, again, Eli doesn't recognize. He thinks she's drunken because maybe Eli, being the corrupt priest that he was, maybe he had no clue of weeping when you pray. Maybe he had no idea of being in bitterness of soul and wanting something so badly that you'd break out in tears and literally you would weep sore, the Bible says, sobbing and crying out to God. Have you prayed like that before? Have you ever just poured out your heart to God? Often, giving what will be mine, it takes place during those times. Often it takes place at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. Often it takes place, it could take place here at the altar in a church service as God lays something on our hearts and we say, God, I will do that. You know, the promise is she is very, very serious about this thing. And then she makes her promise in verse 11, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. She makes her promise. She's serious about this thing, but she makes a promise. If you will give him to me, I will give him to you. Giving what will be mine. If you will give this to me, I will give it to you. I don't know of anything more fun in the Christian life than telling God and getting with God. And again, not flippantly, not just because the preacher said so, not just because it's faith promise missions time, but because you get on the altar and you come before God and God puts in your heart, and a husband and wife, what a blessing that is, to come before God and then God put it in your heart to give, to do, to whatever it is, and you commit together, we'll do this. And God, if you will provide, we'll do it. And there is absolutely nothing greater as far as, you know, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please him. And we're supposed to live every day by faith. And this is so good to be able to say, God, if you'll do... I, in my mind, I see Hannah there, and I see her with her relationship with her God. And Eli doesn't have a clue because he doesn't have a relationship like that. And yet God is smiling because, you know what? I'm going to answer the prayer of this young lady. I'm going to answer her prayer. I'm going to provide. I believe she will do exactly what she said she would do. She'll keep her promise. She'll keep her promise. And she made a vow, God, if you do this, I'll do this. Folks, it's exciting. It really is. You look at our missions program, and we don't have any missionaries that are doing nothing. We have missionaries that are serving God all across the world. And they're doing great works, and it's a great opportunity to have a part in that. Do you understand? People say sometimes, Pastor, what are we going to do in heaven? I think one of the great things in heaven is some little Chinese boy is going to walk up to you and say, hey, thank you for giving to the China mission. I think some little Mexican children are going to come up, and little Filipino children, and people from New Guinea that Sarah has been able to reach. I'm just saying, all over the world, people. You know, we get to heaven, they're going to come up, and they're going to say thank you so much for giving, so that that missionary could come and tell me how to be saved. Do you read our prayer letters? Read the prayer letters all the time. People are getting saved. And you have a part in that. But the thing that we're doing is we're saying, God, if we're just saying, God, if you'll give it to me, I'll give it back to you. And all of a sudden, there's that extra $25, and he provided. And there's that extra $50, and he provided. And a year's gone by, and you say, wow, I did it every week. And he provided. Wow. And Hannah says, God, I made a vow to you, and you provided. Number one, the promise. Number two is the prayer. And I love her prayer. She not only vowed the vow, but again, folks, it's not just the vow, it's the praying. It's not just the promise, it's the prayer. How many times do you promise God something, and then you quit talking to him about it? But see, Hannah would not have, she would have none of that. It was, and I can tell you, the Walktons, they would have had none of that either. God will, hey, God will, and I'm sure they made some covenants, some promises, some vows to the Lord. But it wasn't just, okay, we've now made our promise, we've now prayed to you, but we're going to keep praying. And you know what? They're going to keep praying and keep praying and keep praying, because God's given them a precious little girl. What's God given you that you quit praying about? Hey, you know what? Just, we have to keep praying. And you look at her prayer, and she's in such prayer. The Bible says in verse 12, it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. And as I told you earlier, he thought she was drunken. Let's look at her prayer. A couple things about it that I want you to see. First of all, it was a specific prayer. It was a specific prayer. And I love this. In verse 11, she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou would indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid. Notice what she said, a man child. She's specific. I get frustrated, you know, with myself sometimes when I'm not honest with God to be specific. God, this is really what's in my heart. Instead, we sometimes hedge, well, if it be thy will, God, just ask him. You have not because you ask not. Be specific. God, this is what we need here. You know, if you need $10, pray for $10. If you need the gas bill paid, pray that God pays the gas. I'm just saying, be specific in our prayer. With faith promise, be specific. You know, well, you know, if we have anything left over, we'll give it to you, God. That doesn't take faith. Amen. You know, to me, faith promises is I'm going to give it knowing he's going to provide it. I've already given it many times before it's provided. Yeah. Amen. Specific. She said a man child. That's why, honestly, we ought to write down these things. It's so important to write down. You know, with faith promise, keep track. Write it down. With vows that we make, write it down. We many times our young people go to conferences and camps and things, and they'll make some commitment to the Lord, and we'll tell them, hey, let's write that down in the front of your Bible. Let's write that thing down. Let's write it down and keep praying about that. Because again, I'm giving what will be mine. I'm giving something that has not taken place yet. I'm committing. I'm making a vow. I'm saying, God, I will do this. And we need to be specific. Specific about it. Our commitment. I don't know how many times with some of these things in my own life, I had no idea how God would do it. But he did it. And you look back and you look back on things and there's been many years with Faith Promise, many years where I look back and say, I have no idea how God did that. But he knows. And boy, it was exciting. A specific prayer. Notice also the second thing under the prayer is it was a sincere prayer. It was a sincere prayer. It goes on and it says, thou wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. She's sincere about it. Not just a son, but a son who will serve you. I'm sincere about this, God. I really want my son to serve you. I don't just want a son. I want a son, but I want a son that will serve you. I'm sincere about this thing, God. I'm sincere. Again, if our faith promise to missions is just a little game we play, you know, it should be, we need to reach the world with the gospel. In our Sunday school class, we're going through Revelation. We talked about the tribulation. We've been on it now for quite a while, talking about how awful and how terrible and what it's going to be like. How would we ever want someone that we know to go through that? Why would we? But it's not just the tribulation, which is terrible, but to die and go to hell. God, sincerely, sincerely, I want to give my life to reach souls for Jesus Christ. I want to give my life to, as the Baileys, whenever it was, years and years ago, said, God, we want to be in the bus ministry and we'll serve you in the bus ministry. But it wasn't just because, hey, we want to be in the bus ministry. It was because little children need to hear how to be saved. Because if they get saved as a little child, they can grow up knowing Jesus. Wow, you know, it's a sincere prayer, these vows. A sincere prayer. Why did you get married? You know, well, we want to be one to serve God together. Or, because she's cute. Now, because she's cute, that's good. It's all right. But sincerely, I'm going to tell you, she's cute isn't going to help you when things get tough. She's cute isn't going to help you when you find out she can't cook. Oh. I'm just saying a sincere prayer. God, I will do this. Because I know this is your will. I'm going to do this because I know souls will get saved because of it. Hey, you want to teach Sunday school? Teach Sunday school so you can affect somebody's life. Not just so you can say, hey, I am a Sunday school teacher. Be a bus worker so you can have an impact on somebody's life. Not so you can say, hey, I'm a bus worker. Sincere prayer. Specific prayer. A sincere prayer. And then the third thing I see here is it was a steadfast prayer. Because the Bible says in verse 12, she continued praying. She wasn't even worried about Eli. Not even worried, you know, Eli, he's going to tell her, what is your problem, woman? She just keeps praying. Why? Because it was steadfast. You have not because you ask not. I think it's true also, you have not because you don't keep asking. Keep asking, keep asking. If it was worth asking the first time, it's worth asking the second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time. Certainly with our faith promise, you know, it's all year long. Certainly with marriage, it's the rest of your life. Hey, fellas, when's the last time you prayed for your wife? Before you griped at her. Ma'am, when is the last time you prayed for your husband before you told him he was a slob? When is the last time you just said, God, help my husband not to be such a slob? Well, you know, if you'll tell him he's a slob, tell God. Help him not to be a slob. Amen. It, you know, It's a steadfast prayer. It goes on. It just keeps going. You know, you're a Sunday school teacher, and you know, start off and you have a huge class, and all of a sudden, you know, they all grow up, and now you got to go out and build your class, and now they've only got. Wait a minute. You keep praying. It's a steadfast prayer. I gave my time to the Lord. It's my future time. I said I'll do this thing. I'll do this. I'll make this commitment, God. I'll do this. And as it comes, I'm going to keep praying that it comes. I'm going to keep praying about it. It's a steadfast prayer. Number one is the promise. Number two is the prayer. Number three is the power. The power. You see, if thou wilt give, I will give. God, if you're the only way. And Hannah knew that. She knew. She's not going to have a child unless God provides. And specifically, a man child who will serve unless God provides. God, if thou wilt give, that's his power, I will give. But it took God's power first. Are you with me? God had to do it first. He's the only way. He has to give. Again, faith promise giving is not calculating what we can afford. As it says in 2 Corinthians 8, the passage we go to often about faith promise, it is they gave to their power and beyond their power. Now, how do you give beyond your power? Well, I get a loan from the bank. Wrong, because that's still your power, because you got to pay him back. Are you with me? How do you give beyond your power? Well, there's only one other power to get money from. Not the mafia. It's from heaven. That's beyond my power. So I'm going to give to my, okay, here's what I'm able to do, and now I'm going to get down on my knees, and I'm going to say, God, I want to make a covenant with you. Whatever you'll give, I'll give. And it's up to you, God. It is completely up to you. And it's his power. That's what's so exciting about it. So many people, you know, you'll hear people say, well, I went to church and all this, but I sure didn't see God doing anything. That's your own fault. Because God is very much alive and very much active in our lives. And go to 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 3, just to show you this, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 3. And again, this is the passage that we often go to when we have our faith promise and our missions conference. But the Bible says, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves." Isn't that good? You know, they were beyond their, well, how can you make a commitment beyond your power? Well, there's only one way you can. That's to tap into his power. There isn't any other way. You know, I'm making a commitment. And by the way, these people, you say, well, if they had our economy, they did. This sounds just like Michigan. How then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. Amen. I mean, we're talking about they knew, they understood being laid off. They understood not having money. They understood the economy. They understood the roof leaking. They understood all those kind of things, right? Yeah. But then they said, but you know what? Here's to our power. We can do this. But beyond our power, God, if you'll provide, we'll do it. That's exactly what Hannah said. She said, I can't do this. I can't make this happen. But God, you can. I said as a young man coaching basketball and a bunch of teen boys, I said in the back of a bus one day, God, I have no idea how you could ever use me in your ministry. I have no idea. But I believe you can because I believe you're calling me to do it. And I'm promising you today that I will do it if you'll make me what I need to be. And folks, you It is the way we are to live our lives. It's faith promise living. And I would beg you today, the promise, the prayer, and the power. And we come to number four, and that's the provision. The provision. You know, we you do what you can to figure out you know, my power. I can skip McDonald's. In fact, I've skipped McDonald's now for the last 20 years, I think, right around that. Well, maybe not. There were a few trips, but not on purpose. But, you know, well, I can skip this. I can skip, okay, good. But don't let that be the whole thing. God, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you for those miracles. You know, there is a God in heaven, folks, and he is a miracle-working God. And there's nothing more fun in the world than to receive a miracle from God. We like to get everything figured out and everything, all that kind of stuff, whereby what we do is we say to God, I don't need you. I'm going to live my life on this side of the line where it's, but God wants you to trust him by faith. And that's why some of these commitments, that's why this altar is open. That's why we have altar calls. That's why we need some folks to say, you know what? I'll get my CDL. Don't know how, but I will. That's why we need some folks. Hey, I'll teach Sunday school. I'll work in master clubs. I'll work on a bus route. It's what it's all about. You say, but I don't have the ability. That's exactly what I'm talking about, because he does. Do you understand everybody, every great person in the Bible, they didn't have the ability either. Moses couldn't even speak, and yet he's one of the greatest leaders that ever lived on the face of the earth. He stuttered, he stammered, and yet can you hear him before Pharaoh? Let my people go! But it didn't matter what his tongue did. What mattered is what the God in heaven did, as miracle, after plague on Egypt caused Pharaoh to let the people go. It wasn't Moses. Moses just stood there, maybe shaking. Let my people go. I don't know. But the God in heaven made it happen. And the God in heaven wants to make it happen. The provision, he wants to make it happen in your life. Notice 1 Samuel 1, verse 19. Already read it. They rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to her house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife. And not long after that, the Bible says the Lord remembered her. And then she got an EPT test kit. And found out, woohoo! Of course, back in those days, they didn't know it was a boy or a girl until the time came. Oh, for those days. Amen. I always hate it when people find out. But anyway, I'm not going to preach about that. But you know, wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah. Can you imagine her waddling around? I guarantee she's a happy lady. I guarantee her waddle was a joyful waddle. Amen. Amen. She wasn't complaining about anything. Wasn't griping. Why? Because she made a promise to God. And I think personally, I think she knew this is a boy. Because that's what I asked God for. Whew, man, God provided. But folks, wait a minute here, and I'm just about done. Why wouldn't God provide? It's going to give him glory. Hey, why wouldn't he provide our $25 a week to support missionaries that are winning souls to Jesus? Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he provide what we made a covenant with him about? Why wouldn't he provide if it's for his glory? If it's something he put in our hearts, why wouldn't he provide? Why wouldn't he allow you to work with bus kids? Why wouldn't he let you get your CDL? Why wouldn't he provide? See, it just makes sense to me. Why wouldn't he provide little Samuel? Why wouldn't he? It's going to bring God glory. Yeah. See, we have to make sure the provision is used right, keep our vow. You know, by the way, if you're stealing your tithe, you're already in trouble. Amen. But that whatever commitment, why wouldn't he provide it? It's for his glory. And as God supplies, our faith grows. There's folks in this room right now, you could not talk them out of faith promise. I'm telling you, if you tried, You could tell them, well, this is foolish. We have accountants all the time. I hear it from different folks in the church. First of all, they can't believe you tithe. Second of all, they can't believe you give. Third of all, they can't believe you give to missions. And it's like accountants will say, are you nuts? And they will say this to you. And I guarantee if I said, raise your hand, I'm not going to, but if I did, hands would go up all over the room. An accountant will say, you can't do that. Really? Yeah, you can't do it. Well, sir, I've been doing it the last 20 years. What do you mean I can't do it? Well, you just it doesn't make sense. It isn't supposed to. It isn't supposed to make sense. It's in the land of Jesus. And the land of Jesus doesn't make sense to the world. We just talked about that last week. The provision. Number five is the last thing. And this is so important. It's the presentation. Okay, now keep your word. Keep your word. I think of Paul and Stacy. And Paul, we have a lot of fun. In fact, I think it was Monday, he texted me and talked about the purgatory that surrounded us outside. And I keep telling Paul I'm going to come to work with him, but I'm not going to get on a roof in this weather. But anyway, I can only imagine some of the things they told God at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. I can only imagine God will make sure Lydia hears the Bible. We'll make sure she hears us pray. We'll make sure she knows the songs, Jesus Loves the Little Children. We'll make sure. It's the presentation, Lord, here. That's what Hannah did. Hannah said, verse 27, for this child I prayed. This child right here, this child I prayed. For this child. And the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also have I lent him to the Lord. Lord, here. Here's my giving that I said I would give. Here's what I gave that would be mine. And now that it is mine, here, I'm going to do what I said I'd do. And as long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And that's what we do. The presentation. She made her presentation with joy. Why? Because God provided her prayer. There's nothing grumpy about doing what you told God you'd do. Shouldn't be. Again, in marriage, better, worse. I know you don't expect the worst to come, but the if you have a good relationship with your spouse, when the worst comes, you can still rejoice. You can still praise the Lord with joy. Why? Well, because God did allow some worse, but God said that in the worst he would give us peace, and he does. And so yeah, with joy. Hannah's not saying, oh, I can't believe this. I wanted Samuel. I know what I said, God, and I know I told you I'd give him to you, but he could be a doctor, he could be a lawyer, he could be so many things, and I got to looking at his abilities, and he's able to put those square blocks in the square holes and the round blocks in the round holes, and he's obviously a genius, and we all think our kids are, and he does things, and so God, I just really don't want to. No, she said, here, you gave to me and I'm going to give to you with joy and with generosity and knowing that, all the things that God gives us, and God's so good to us, he always is. It's just knowing, wow, I could give God everything and it's not enough. It just isn't enough. And so I want you to consider today faith promise living. And giving what will be mine. When is the last time you you made a covenant with God? When's the last time you made a vow to God? When's the last time you just got serious with God and something that was on your heart that you wanted to see or you wanted to happen and you said, God, if you'll do this, I will do my very best in this area. It could be that guy that I don't think I could ever drive a bus. I can't get a seat. Well, how about if you get on your knees and say, God, if you'll give me that CDL, I'll use it for your glory. God, if you'll give me that Master Club group of boys or girls, or if you'll give me that Sunday school class, if you'll open that door, if you'll use me that way, then I will give that to you. God, if you'll provide whatever amount of money every week, if you'll miraculously, I'll make sure that goes into missions and support missionaries to win souls to Jesus all over this world. Just giving what will be mine. Making vows to the Lord. Again, not casual, not just flippantly, but just between you and God where you have that kind of relationship. What a wonderful, wonderful way it is to live. Let's bow our heads, please.